Well, I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach. Thanks to Pastor for allowing me to preach, and thankful the Lord allowed me to be here, and for you all, church family, to be here. You know, we sang, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, and that's what we are. We're it's a family meeting on a Wednesday night, and it's good to be here as a church family. We, of course, I have family. They're scattered around the church tonight, and I've got family in Michigan. I know some of you who might be Ohio fans don't like the Michigan word, but they're up in Michigan. I've got family in Georgia, and I love family get-togethers. It's always fun to get together with family, family you haven't seen in a while, family you need to catch up with. And, you know, we're coming into a season of Thanksgiving, Christmas. You're like, no, we're not. Yes, we are. It's just a month and 2 months away, and going to have family come into town. And I'm glad I don't have to, like, hide or run away from my family, but I have a healthy friendship and love with my family. And that's the way it ought to be, right? I think of, there was a movie that came out not recently that nobody wanted to talk about a specific family member. I won't sing a song or name the name, but you know what I'm talking about. If you know, you know, right? And maybe some of us have that family member that we don't really want to talk about them, except we do, just not while they're around, right? We want to talk about them. Oh, that's so-and-so. You can't count on them. They're always late. They always, oh, so-and-so cooked the pie this year, so just don't even bother trying to eat it. And we have these conversations, but that's not healthy. That's not how a family's supposed to act. Right. There's a reason you don't have that conversation with that family member to their face, because it's not right. It's wrong. Well, as a church family, when we get together, what causes division? What causes fightings? And that's what we get to here in James chapter 4. I've been studying through the book of James this summer. We studied in James as a camp staff, and James talks about the tongue several times here in the book of James, and we kind of come to one of those passages here. We're going to read James chapter 4, verse number 1. We'll start there. It kind of gives us context with what's happening here within the passage. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Verse number 5, drop down to verse 5. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Drop down to verse 11. This will be our text for the evening, what we'll focus on. Speak not evil one of another. That next word is brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Let's pray. Lord, we ask for your help tonight as we study your word. Lord, that your word would convict, your word would direct, and Lord, that we would just obey what your word has for us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we read, we finished there with verse 12 with the question, who art thou that judgest another? Who are you? Who am I? Of course, we know, we see this is in the context of believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we're going to come to verse number 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. What does it mean to speak evil? What is the sin of speaking evil? Simply defined, it's slander. The word is slander. Well, what does slander mean? Don't use a word to define a word that I don't know. So let's look at slander. Slander, it's to talk against someone, usually behind their back, away from their ears, away from their hearing, a whisper. The best way I've heard it, and the definition we will use going forward tonight, it's the unhelpful repeating of stories about the wrongs and offenses of others. I'll read that one more time. Slander is the unhelpful repeating of stories about the wrongs and offenses of others. And before you think, oh, Corey's getting up there and preaches. No, I'm preaching this to myself. I've been studying this, and I was convicted as I read and studied this out. and I'll be preaching this to myself this evening. The unhelpful repeating of stories about the wrongs and offenses of others. So my first question, is it wrong to confront the sins of other people? Well, we need to compare scripture to scripture. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Go there, please. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Is it wrong then? It says, I don't want to slander. Is it wrong to confront sin? Well, no. Galatians 6, 1 says, brethren, again, context here, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christians, if a man be overtaken in a fault, if a man is in sin, ye which are, read that next word, spiritual. And then the next word is, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Is it wrong to confront the sin of others? No. In fact, the Bible gives us a command that if we see a brother in sin, we should go to them in the right spirit. We need to be spiritual. We need to be right. And we need to go to them in that spirit of meekness to restore them, always with the goal to bring them back. We don't want to be separated from our family member. We want to love them, and we want to bring them back into fellowship with us. Matthew chapter number 18. Jesus gives the clear direction of how you're supposed to deal with sin in the church. Moreover, this is chapter 18 of Matthew, verse 15. If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Again, that's the goal. We want our brother to come back. And what James was saying is, if you're not careful, what you'll want is that spirit that lusteth to envy. That's our default mode. That we'll be glad when they fall. We'll be prideful when they fall. And we'll feel better about ourselves. And we'll begin to share the unhelpful story about the wrongs and offenses of others, when we ought to go to them and tell them his fault to their face and say, hey, I noticed this. Is this what I saw? Brother, hey, that's not right. Sister, hey, that's not right. Let's get it right. We know how to do it. We need to go. If we go to God, if we confess, he's faithful, he's just to forgive us our sins. Amen. But if he won't hear thee, you take one or two more. And then if he won't hear those, you're supposed to bring it before the church. And then as the last thing you do is you separate from them. You want them to be reconciled. So it's not wrong to confront the sin of others. Well, what's so wrong about slander? What does it look like? Well, in the Old Testament, we find slander in Numbers, chapter number 14. Numbers chapter 14. Remember when Moses sent the spies into the land? You can sing the song, right? 10 were bad and 2 were good. Well, those 10 bad, evil reporters, they came back. And in Numbers chapter 14, verse number 35, the Lord says this, I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness, that they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. God had told them to go into the land, take it, it's yours. Well, they heard that command. They heard what God wanted them to do. They went in and they saw, and they came back and said, look, I know what God said. Well, here's what you need to know. Here's what you need to hear. I know what God said, but you need to listen to what I have to say. That's slander. I know what God said about that person, how they're forgiven and how if they'll repent, but I don't care if they repent or not. I need to tell this story because it's really important that you hear what I know. So if we can take the example here of those 10 spies and how they gave an evil report. They heard what God had said, and yet they chose to focus on the evil things, the bad things, the things that scared them, the things that they didn't like. Let's look at what a model Christian should be. What should we be doing as Christians? Go to Romans chapter 12 and verse number 9. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 9. It's important that we all see it together. I'll reference it a couple times. Romans chapter 12, verse number 9. How are we supposed to live as Christians? Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Hate evil. Cleave to that which is good. Verse 10 would fix a lot of the problems. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Amen. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We know that's what we're supposed to do. I didn't read anything that any Christian probably hasn't read before. You've probably studied it. You've probably memorized some of those verses. And yet what happens is we go back to our default setting of that spirit that lusteth to envy. And we forget we're supposed to be kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly kindness, with brotherly love, and honor preferring one another. So what does it look like in the church? It looks like forgetting that. It looks like the unhelpful repeating of stories about the faults and offenses of others. Sharing on social media. We live in a day and age now where it doesn't have to be said by your mouth. It could be typed on a keyboard. It could be clicked on your phone. Do you know if it's true? I don't know. It makes me feel better about it. I'm going to share it. Someone needs to know this. Did you know it doesn't have to just be a brother or sister in Christ for you to slander? You start doing it about politicians and celebrities, it's just going to follow suit that you do it about your brothers and sisters in Christ, because it becomes part of who you are. If you don't stop listening to it, it will take you over. We know if we have an issue with a person, we've been given clear instruction. How are we supposed to deal with it? We go to them for reconciliation. So how do you stop slander? How do you stop yourself? How do you stop it in the church, in a family setting? How do you stop slander, those unhelpful stories of the faults and offenses of others? Well, first, you don't listen to it. You plug up your ears and you, la, 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 I'm not listening. That's what my kids do when they don't want to listen, la, la, la. They shut their ears and they start saying other things. Because the trouble is, once you start listening to it, it's hard to turn it off. Once you hear it, you can't unhear it. Once you read the article, you'll never believe what happens next. Click below, pay $2.99. You know, that's how they get you. It's everywhere. Turn on the news. It's there. Slander everywhere. Hey, this person did this. This person did this. Is it helpful? No. Can I help them? No. You know why we like hearing those things? Because we like to criticize. Guilty. This was me. I have to be so careful with what I allow my ears to hear, because it makes me feel better about my walk with God. Oh, well, at least I'm not. And it's easy to push the share button. Oh, everybody needs to see this story. And don't focus on me. Focus on the story about this person or that person. Proverbs 18:8, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. They stay with you. What's the solution? How do you stop it? Well, you don't listen to it. Psalm 31, verse 11, David said this, I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear of mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. Instead of listening to slander, focus on the word of God. Focus that on his promises to you. Stop listening to the garbage on the news. Stop listening and reading the different articles and following all these different accounts so that you can keep up to date on what politician or what celebrity or what other church is doing this. Once you start, it's hard to stop. When does the slander of these people stop and then come into your brothers and sisters in Christ? And when you're daily consuming it, don't be surprised when it consumes you. Corey, when you're daily consuming slander, don't be surprised when you begin to easily slander others, because it's the abundance of the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. My life is filled with social media. My life is filled with the comparison to others. My life is filled with, my pictures need to be better than theirs from their vacation. I need to go on a better vacation. Yeah, but I bet they stayed in a hotel that was, and you begin to slander. It's like, oh, Corey, that's silly. Yeah, but take that and turn it into the lunch table. Hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Yeah, they haven't been in church in a long time. Yeah, I bet they're probably off into, I told you, I knew. Did you hear this? You know what it is, but it likes to disguise itself into prayer requests. You're not praying, you're critiquing. I'm critiquing. How do you get rid of it? You stop listening. You get people out of your life who are doing it. Psalm 101, verse 5, David, desiring to walk in integrity, says this: whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. You might need to stop some friendships. That's not a friend who will slander. If they'll slander about someone to you, they will gladly slander you to someone else. And if you listen to it, you're just as guilty as they are. If you don't stop them and say, I am not going to listen, you'll be as those in Israel who heard the 10 spies and said, oh yeah, I believe them. And they didn't get to enter into the land. We have to stand for right. I'm not going to listen to this. What you're doing is slander. Please stop. We need to go find this person that you're talking about. We need to go, if this is a problem, we need to go fix. We have clear guidance on how to do it. Hey, let's pray together. Let's make sure we're right. Let's go speak to them and make sure we can help this brother or sister. That's the goal. We're brotherly kindness one towards another, preferring another person above yourself. Don't be a slanderer. What happens when you slander? Can family slander family? Well, sure, but it's not healthy. There's not many family get-togethers when there's slander happening. When I'm going around talking about my sister and all the things she's done, well, you know, I know I forgave her, but let me bring it up again. You might find yourself passing along those unhelpful stories when you forget that that is your brother. You may notice we say brother and sister around here. There's a reason we sang that song earlier. It's because we're a family. Amen. And these folks are supposed to be very dear. But when you're focused on yourself, pride, the spirit that lusteth to envy, you won't care that they're your brother or sister, because we're focused, Corey is focused on himself and how I look good, how I lift myself up, how I make sure I look good in the light. So let's focus on the flaws of others when it's not helpful at all. What's helpful would be to go to that person and say, hey, are you okay? I've noticed you've been gone a couple Sundays. Is everything all right? Yeah, you know what? Thank you. No, I've really been struggling with this. And the goal is to bring that brother in restoration. If you see them in a sin, go and speak to them. We should never repeat what may harm another person unless to not repeat it would cause greater harm. I think that's been evidenced over the past several years. If there's a sin, if there's an evil being committed, we need to speak out. We need to speak against sin in a spirit of meekness, in a spirit of love, but we need to address it. We need to confront it. And if it needs to be given to the authorities, we tell the authorities. We tell the people who can help what's happening. Better for them to be convicted and found out here and get right with God now than continue in their sin and end up in hell. Amen. Confront the sin. Proverbs 10:18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Don't be foolish. Be a help to your brothers and sister in Christ. Cleave to that which is good. Rejoice in hope. Man, just be excited that, hey, I'm going to pray that this brother or sister comes back to the Lord. And I'm going to try. I'm going to do my best. That's my goal. It's this Galatians 6:1 that I would be one of those spiritual to come alongside them. Surround yourself with good brothers and sisters who will plug their ears and say, la, 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 I'm not going to listen to you. And you be that friend to someone too. It will save the family of God from fightings and division and that spirit that lusteth to envy. So we saw slander. That was a fun topic, right? Slander is the first sin discussed in James chapter number 4. Let's go back to James 4 and look at the next topic. Speak not evil one of another, verse 11 says, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? So what is this, don't judge your brother? We have already talked about, this isn't talking about judging between good and evil, right and wrong, sin and righteousness, okay? So we can get that out of the way. You are allowed to judge against sin. If there is sin being committed, we ought to go and talk to that brother or sister in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So what is this? This judgmental spirit. You know, there is a reason they're used in conjunction. It's usually because one comes before the other. The judgmental spirit is the slander that you've already convinced yourself of before you've spoken it. This judgmental spirit is a glance and you've made an idea of what their motivations are, the thoughts and the intents of that person's heart. You've made yourself judge, jury, executioner, and they're no longer able. Nope, this person is completely out of the will of God. So it is spoken, so it shall be done, because Corey has said so. Ah, this person's not been at church for a month, so, well, there they go. No hope for them. They've had their chances. That's not what God's word says. You see, what James is saying is you become a judge to the law. You start saying, see, God, you said in your word, and so I'm going to step in now, and what I say is that, oh, well, they'll never amount to anything. They're not faithful. And we get this judgmental spirit. We may never say those words out loud, but we have them in our heart, and we think that towards our brother or sister, and we act differently because of the way we think about them. And then we're more apt when that person does fall, or if that person does do something a little wrong that you don't think meets your moral standard or your preferences, that we'll go and we will slander them. James is saying when you make that judgmental, have that judgmental spirit towards them, you're stepping in the place of God dealing with them. This is not a call to keep quiet against sin. It's a call for you to listen to the word of God and be the Christian brother to them, the Christian sister to them that you ought to be, that I ought to be. Jesus tells us to guard against this in Matthew chapter 7. We probably had this verse quoted to us, you know, hey, judge not, lest ye be judged. Don't judge me for my sin. We've already, no. This is talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye? And behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. I mean, have you ever flown on a plane? Right? What do they say? And in case of an emergency, oxygen masks will deploy from the overhead. Please make sure to put on your own before you help the person sitting next to you, right? Take care of and make sure you can be a help to the people around you. Hey, Christian, make sure you can be someone who can spiritually help someone before you go and try to help them. That's what we were told when we read in Galatians chapter 6. You which are spiritual. You which are spiritual, go and restore such a one. Not whoever really just wants to give it to him, you go. No, spiritual. Because we want restoration, not condemnation. We want restoration. Only God is judge, not me. Amen. Who are you? Who am I? It was happening in the early church in Romans chapter 14. Well, I keep certain days and I eat certain meat. Well, I don't eat certain meat and I don't keep certain days. Who's more spiritual? Romans 14, chapter 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Paul asks. Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I answer to God for my thoughts and my words and my actions, and they will have to answer for theirs. I was told in Romans chapter number 12 that I'm supposed to prefer them above myself. That I'm supposed to love without dissimulation. I'm supposed to abhor evil. I'm supposed to cleave to that which is good and be kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly love. I'm supposed to rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation. I'm not supposed to recompense evil for evil. I'm not supposed to overcome evil with evil, but evil with good. Amen. See, when we remember what God said, we'll be less worried about what they said or what he said or what people think or what we think people need to hear what we say. When we're reminded of the beam or beams many times in our eye, we'll be far less ready to point out the flaws in others. So what does it look like? I think you can probably have a pretty good grasp of what it looks like. Prayerfully, you've not been guilty of it, but I have. Well, they wouldn't be here if it wasn't for their parents. Judgmental spirit. You don't know their heart. Might very well be so, but that's not helpful. Yeah, you shouldn't really hang out with that person. Don't give them the time of day. Oh, look, they started going to another church. I knew there was something about them. They're going into one of those other churches and they're singing those contemporary songs. What Bible version is that? Oh, he doesn't even have a Bible over there. Oh, he does have a Bible. She does have a Bible. Ooh, but look. Oh, what version is that? That's not a red letter edition. If we're not careful, a judgmental spirit, they're not where I am. So I'm obviously more righteous, more holy than they are. No. Who are you? Who am I? They're my brother and they're my sister in Christ. I don't know where they are in their walk with God. Only God knows that. It looks like, and I'm going to talk about myself here. What does it look like to have a judgmental spirit? It looks like Corey being so proud, pretending to be a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of someone's heart. Remember in 1 Samuel chapter 16, as Samuel was going around looking, trying to find the next king of Israel. And he was going to the house of Jesse, and he was going through the brothers, and this is the one. And the Lord said to him in verse 7, look not on his countenance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And church, not a thing has changed since he said those words. We can't see the heart. We see the outside. You see the tattoos. You see the hair. You see the thing. Oh, they'll never get saved. Oh, they've got one of those signs out front. This house believes in this, and we love is love, and oh, they'll never get saved. Really? I thought the word of God doesn't return void, that it can cut to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Amen. It can save the lost. Amen. Do you believe that? Church family, yes. Yes, God's word still saves. The gospel, the good news. You see, what Satan wants to do is take what we're supposed to be sharing, the good news of the gospel, and he wants you to share all the bad news about your brothers and sisters in Christ. What a cheap replacement. What a terrible, terrible thing to be a part of. And I am guilty. Lord, help me. You forget James chapter 4, verse 12. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? God's laws are unalterable. Malachi 3, 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. I remember studying through Job, and Job wants to, if I could just ask God these questions, if I could just get an answer, and then he does, right? Job chapter 40, God answers in verse number 8, wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God? He goes through and talks about Leviathan and Behemoth, and Job gets to a hold of himself and responds in Job chapter 42. Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Let that sink in. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job got his eyes on God. He had a view of God, and then he had a right view of himself and repented. How do you fix slander and a judgmental spirit? How do you fix the spirit that lusteth to envy? How do you fix sin? Well, we skipped over it when we were reading, but James chapter number 4 gives the answer. It comes right after verse 5. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? We've diagnosed the problem. What causes church division? What causes family problems here in the church family? Just point all the fingers back at ourselves. It's us. Well, what's the solution? Verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. Well, that's bad news. That's me. But he gives grace to the humble. Amen. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Hey, say no to slander. Say no to a judgmental spirit. Quit going and giving the devil place to use your lips, which are a powerful thing. They move the rudder, right? It's like the bit in the horse's mouth. This tongue, who's able to control it? Oh, God, I need your help so that I don't go around slandering and sharing the bad news of my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'll share the good news of Jesus Christ to my neighbors. Amen. How do you fix it? You do the things we just read. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Go verse by verse. God resists the proud. Humble yourself. Submit to God. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. Keep a short account of sin. When God convicts you, ask forgiveness. Repent. Have a right view of that sin. There are no respectable sins. And a lot of times, this falls under that category of, well, it's respectable. It's okay. I mean, it's okay. What causes wars and fightings within the family? Pride. A prideful person says, it's okay. This little sin is okay. cleanse your hands, purify your hearts, be afflicted, mourn, weep. Have I been afflicted about my sin? About the beam that's in my eye? Do I mourn and weep? Has my laughter been turned to mourning? Has my joy truly been turned to heaviness? When you get a right view of God, humbling yourself in his sight, he will lift you up. My pride, the spirit that's warring against the Holy Spirit, my flesh wants to default to lifting myself up. I don't want to humble myself. But God says, the way up is down. Make much of Jesus. Pastor said it on Sunday night as he was talking about John the Baptist. What did John the Baptist say? He got it right. He must increase and I must decrease. Amen. We're a family. I'm so glad I'm a part of this family. Amen. I've not ever had a person come and slander to me. And I pray that I've never come and slandered to you. But if I ever do, plug your ears and tell me to stop it. Tell me to get it right with the person I'm slandering about. And I pray that someone would do that to you. And I would do that to you. I pray I would. I don't want to be guilty of hearing it and agreeing with it. Help me from a judgmental spirit. Can I encourage you to stop the unhelpful repeating of stories about the wrongs and offenses of others? But it's true. Then go to them and do it the Bible way. It's unhelpful to go and tell so-and-so who's, they're not even in the story. Why are you telling them? Well, you know, I've got my following and I've got this subscription plan. If you pay $3.99, you can be a part of my mail. No. James tells us that if we're not careful, if we don't guard against it, that spirit that lusteth the envy, do you think the scripture saith in vain? This is who we are. This is what we default to. This is what we will do if we're not on guard, if we're not walking with the Lord. He gives us more grace. Am I someone who will point out the flaws of others but blind to my own? Who are you, the Bible asks. Am I that person? Guilty. Who are you, Corey? Is it easy for me to pass judgments on someone because it makes me feel a little bit better about myself? Well, hey, that person's not here tonight, and I am, so praise the Lord. I'm here on a Wednesday night. Where's those Sunday night people at? We should pray. We should invite them. Hey, did you know we have Wednesday night service? Encourage them to come. Gain a brother. Invite them to dinner on Wednesday night and then come here. Or are you humbled at the reminder of the beam of sin in our own life? And reminded, you know what? Instead of spending so much time focusing on other people and their problems, I've got a lot of problems myself. And before I can ever help my brother or sister, I need to make sure I'm right with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the word is spoken. I pray that you would help me to be humble in my spirit, that I would have a right attitude in regards to Lord, how you see my sin, that I'd repent. Lord, I'd keep my heart and my hands clean, that I'd draw nigh to you. And Lord, thank you for the promise that you will draw nigh and near to us. Lord, thank you for your word and for your promises. Lord, but we cannot simply will ourselves to do what we've talked about tonight. Lord, we know the spirit that's in us, our flesh, Lord, it lusteth to envy. It wants to make much of I really want to make a lot of myself. So Lord, help me this week that I would daily determine to walk with you, to humble myself before you. I would confess sin. I'd be a brother in Christ who could help and be helpful to my Christian family. That I would not be a detractor. I wouldn't point people away from you, but I would point them to you. Lord, we need you. Help us walk daily with you and honor you in our lives, our homes, our church. In Jesus' name we pray.